Welcome to the Eye on Football podcast. Will Brinson here with Ryan Wilson. I return from my hiatus, although I guess we talked last week, Ryan. This week, though, we'll discuss the AFC Championship game, the NFC Championship game, a slew of coaching moves that have gone on in the past how many ever days since we last chatted, plus all other notable news and notes from the NFL. How are you, sir?
Good, although no one probably heard you in our conversation last week when you were driving home from the Panthers game.
Oh, that's right.
Uploaded the podcast incorrectly, so they'll probably hear that conversation shortly after they hear this one, which I'm sure you will upload properly.
That's right. So if anybody was looking for the divisional review, it didn't go to iTunes, it didn't go to the website. It never showed up, but hey, maybe it'll pop up now. It's okay. As we noted in that podcast, actually, I had a kid. That's why we didn't do the standard divisional review and the standard preview, because I was out changing poopy diapers and stuff.
Breach and I made note of that in the other podcast.
Okay.
Everyone's well aware that you've been off. In fact, there was a joke about you not only procreating, but finding someone to marry you.
That's right. It's very surprising. I outkicked my coverage, as our former colleague Clay Travis likes to say. Anyway, coaching hires. The news of the day on Thursday, and we recorded this Thursday, Friday, well, you know, previewing the weekend, obviously, Rex Ryan got a contract extension from the Jets. It is, I don't even know how long the deal is. This is how, and you know this.
I think basically what ends up happening is it works out to be a one-year guaranteed deal. So it looks like he gets a long-term extension, quote-unquote, but the Jets can get out of it after 2015, I believe.
Yeah, that's what I saw. And so, in other words, it is them saying that they're basically saying, look, we don't want you to be working on a one-year deal, because then we will be asked all season long whether or not you're on, you know, whether or not you're going to be fired every single week. If the Jets struggle, people will ask questions. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to give you this contract. We're going to extend you into the future. If you do well, we will not get out of the contract. But if we decide that it's time to bail, we will bail.
Yeah, I think that makes sense for all parties.
It does.
I thought Rex Ryan deserved to keep his job. I thought he did a spectacular job. In fact, next week, we're rolling out these kind of previews of player of the year, coach of the year, rookie of the year type stuff. And I actually voted for Rex Ryan.
Number one? As
one of my coach of the years.
I think I actually left him off, but at that point, it was like late, and I was trying to, we had to come up with eight. And
this is beyond ridiculous.
Incredibly ridiculous, yeah. And this is where we find out if our boss, EK, is listening to the podcast. My guess is he will not mention this, although this is early enough in the show that he might not have turned it off. At any rate, yeah, we had to come up with eight, and we'll be rolling those out, so keep an eye out for those. Rex Ryan, though, to me, Ryan, did a really good job in 2012 or 2013, and you mentioned you put him on the list. 8-8 with that squad, pretty good. I wonder whether Rex should have bet on himself a little bit more, maybe.
In what sense?
Coach out your contract. You know, go win 10 games or 11 games, and then, you know, put the Jets in a bad situation. Come on.
Oh, yeah, but his money, well, it's not all guaranteed, clearly, based on the structure of this contract. But I think there's no really, I mean, you're not kind of leveraging anything, I don't think. I mean, he wouldn't have any trouble finding a job, even if, say, the Jets tank next year.
And his contract ran out.
What Wisenhunt did, 1 year stint as a coordinator, come back and be the hot candidate again.
Yeah, that's true. He would get hired easily. I mean, if you're only getting a year's, you know, year's worth of cash anyway, you're just basically avoiding like a big pain in the ass from the media. But you're not actually going to do that, because the media in New York is such a pain in the ass anyway.
Yeah, they got time.
they got time to kill, buddy. And they need headlines. So, but yeah, it works around for everybody. You mentioned Ken Wisenhunt hired by the Titans. This was surprising, because Wisenhunt, to me, and I ranked the open jobs in. And yet, Wisenhunt decides to go with the Titans instead of Detroit. You know, you look at Detroit, and they've got Matthew Stafford, Calvin Johnson, Ndamukong Suh, Nick Fairley.
Reggie Bush.
They have a lot of offensive weapons. I mean, they would be good on offense just by default. Were you surprised he went with Tennessee instead of Detroit?
Yeah, I was. It took me aback, as old people say. And I guess the word on the street later was that the Titans offered him more money. And look, I'm not going to begrudge anyone for taking more money.
Sure.
But I've said this plenty of times before, and it's not original. If you don't have a franchise quarterback, I don't care how good a coach you are, you're going to suck. And, I mean, look, Belichick was run out of Cleveland. Belichick's record his first season in New England with Drew Bledsoe was 5-11. And he's, you know, probably just as smart now as he was then. Maybe he learned a few new tricks along the way. One of them, in having a franchise quarterback, helps a lot. So either one of the things I speculated before I found out that the rumor was that Wisdom Hunt got more money is that either he went to Detroit and found something, or I don't know, he never did an interview, but maybe he felt uncomfortable about the situation in Detroit or heard through the grapevine that Matthew Stafford wasn't a hard worker or whatever. Or maybe it just came down to money. I would like to think, I would feel more comfortable knowing that it was the former. It wasn't just about money. But, hey, listen, we all have bills to pay. So if that's the decision he makes. But the other problem is, now what? Are you going to roll with Jake Locker, who they wanted to get rid of 2 years ago for Peyton Manning? Are you going to use Ryan Fitzpatrick as sort of a Alex Smith type for a couple years and then find your next franchise quarterback?
Well, go ahead. Sorry, finish.
No, I was going to say, he just asked for a lot of trouble, it seems like, when you had a lot of the answers in Detroit, if you know the Lions truly didn't want him.
Yeah, all right. So, no, I have a couple of thoughts on this, and I think it's interesting. I agree with you. First of all, absolutely agree with you've got Matthew Stafford. So, you know, what are you thinking? I will say that when you start looking at the Lions roster, you it's got a very Stars and Scrubs-ish type of build to it. You know, there's Stafford and Calvin Johnson and Dominican Sue and Nick Fairley. But at the same time, you know, there's not a ton of cap space because these guys take up huge chunks of the cap. And I think the other rumor was Tennessee gave him more money and maybe more control. And so, yes. But I mean, that's huge. Like, if you're, you know,
well, let me ask you,
it's like what Parcells said about, you know, buying the groceries.
Whose decision was it to sign Kevin Cobb? Because if that was Wisenhunt's heading,
I think it was Larry Fitzgerald and Rod Graves.
That's the story Wisenhunt should be telling.
That's right. Well, that's the thing. It's like you would think Wisenhunt would have learned from that mistake with Cobb and Skelton and Ryan Lindley and how quickly things
Max
can go
Hall.
Bad. Yeah, Max Hall. I mean, God, we're talking about a poo-poo platter. And you see,
Eric
like
Anderson.
Yeah, but it's crazy. Like, you see, you get Carson Palmer in there, and he's not even that good. And all of a sudden, you can turn it around that quickly. So, that's what confuses me, is you would think that he would have learned his lesson after that whole disaster in Arizona, because, you know, without Warner and your boy Matt Leinart's throwing him under the bus. But I think that when he looks at the two rosters, one, he's going to have a little more control in Tennessee, and two, it's not as restricted by the players they have. So, in other words, you've got Jake Locker there. He's a previous regime's guy. You can – or actually, I guess, did Rustin Webster draft him or probably?
I think so. I don't know if Rustin just moved up, though. He may have moved up to
I think
Chiefs.
He just moved up. It's like a Rick Spielman situation where he was there when Locker got drafted, but he didn't pull the trigger. So
yeah, I think that's right.
So in that sense, everybody's operating on house money with Locker. You've got 1 year left on his rookie contract where you can kind of try and see what happens. I would think no way they pick up his fifth-year option, though. That would be stupid. Because then you're paying him like the top, like the average of the top 10 salaries.
They have to find a quarterback. That's the problem.
Right. But here's what I'm saying is you have this 1 year of house money with Jake Locker.
And if he does great, then what?
Well, but you go out and you pick up a quarterback in the draft, maybe you go sign somebody in free agency, and you start thinking about trying to find that franchise quarterback. I just think
you know where he is? He's in Detroit.
Well, Matthew Stafford's paid a lot of money.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you get – listen, I'll be honest with you. We'll get to this in a second. But I feel much better about Caldwell's hire there based on what other people around Caldwell have said. But we can get that in a second. So yeah. I feel good about Stafford's future.
I don't disagree with you. I think that if I rated the jobs and I said that the number one job was – and I didn't – Tennessee wasn't even included in that. I would have put Tennessee – no, they weren't – Munchak wasn't fired when I did the piece.
Yeah.
But I would have – Tennessee would have been better for me than Minnesota –
Cleveland
and Washington, actually.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
So you've got Houston, Detroit. Who else are we? Actually, I would rather go to Tennessee maybe than Tampa Bay, because that Tampa Bay division is really tough. They've run off two coaches quickly in the last few years. I would say Tennessee might be the third best job out there.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I mean, I'm not
good players. Good players on defense. You got some talented wide receivers. You can run. You can get rid of Chris Johnson and save some money.
Yep.
The offensive line with Warmack and Levitre and Roos. I mean, they're stacked on the offensive line.
Yeah, you got to have a quarterback, though.
No, I know, no, I know, but I mean, like,
quarterback.
But if you've got, if you're the coach and you're getting some control and some input on who the coach is, then maybe you can, or maybe who the quarterback is, maybe you can pull it off. So I think that's my logic for why he did it. Although I still understand why Detroit is the top job.
Yeah, look, Andy Reid won 11 games with Alex Smith, so it's not impossible. But Alex Smith isn't a long-term answer either. That's the conversation we're having with Jake Locker and or Ryan Fitzpatrick. They got to find somebody. There's going to be a huge investment, and there's so many misses when you're looking for quarterbacks. And there's a Kevin Cobb debacle. So
Jake Locker looked good in some limited action early on last year.
Yeah,
in the first few
fair
games.
Enough.
And it's possible that Wiz says, thinks I can, like, he went back and watched Locker's tape and watched Locker's games and said, I can fix this guy. And I don't know who gets the credit for Phil Rivers, whether it's Wiz or whether it's McCoy. I mean, you got to give some to both guys. So, yeah. And Warner, he fixed Warner in Arizona. I mean, the guy's fixed some quarterbacks.
Yeah, started with Big Ben so he could play. He knows how to handle young guys,
that's
old
right.
guys, bounce back guys. But yeah,
meatheads,
we'll just have to wait.
Meatheads, guys who don't like children, guys who have seven children.
That's right.
Jesus freaks, accused rapist. Too much?
No, not at all. So, I thought the Jim Caldwell hire was not a farce, but close to it. And then I heard Tony Dungy and Peyton Manning actually called Martin Mayhew, the Lions GM, to give his support to Caldwell before the hiring went through. And even your boy, what's his name? The former Panthers quarterback who went to Penn State.
Kerry Collins?
Yeah, Kerry Collins. I guess Caldwell worked with him at Penn State back in the day. He was a coach.
I didn't
there.
Realize that. Huh.
He had nothing but praise for him. So I get the sense that Caldwell, if nothing else, and I know people like to make fun of him for coaching Wake to one win in 18 seasons or something, but if he can get the most out of Stafford, which Schwartz could not do, and that's why Schwartz lost his job in part, then that's a huge deal.
Huge deal, yeah. And look, when you go back and look at Caldwell's, he worked with Manning. And obviously he didn't like cause Manning to be great, but he worked with Manning for a long time. So he knows how to communicate with quarterbacks. He got Joe Flacco. I mean, they canned Cameron and got – was Caldwell there anyway?
Yeah.
He was a quarterback's coach and elevated offensive coordinator.
Something like that, right. But he
– that's what it was. Because remember
– after they fired Cam.
Excuse me. It was Zorn who was the quarterback's coach. Zorn got canned in Baltimore.
That's right.
They hired Caldwell, and everybody's like, Jesus, man. Like, good for you. But Caldwell actually did a good job. Flacco got hot, won that Super Bowl. If he can fix Matthew Stafford, the Lions are a dangerous, dangerous team. Now, I look at Caldwell, and I see a guy who won, I think, 12 games in like 5 years at Wake Forest, or like 22 games in 6 years at Wake Forest, and that's a red flag. Long time ago, I see a guy that took over for Tony Dungy in Indianapolis, probably a mistake by Bill Polian. When Peyton Manning got hurt, they were a terrible football team, and Caldwell couldn't do anything. And I don't buy into it. I'm skeptical of the hire, but I do think that there's enough in place where, like, Caldwell to me isn't the guy you want to coach up a bad roster like Rex Ryan.
Oh, absolutely not. That's right. So, and I don't. I think you're right. I think a lot of that the Colts issues in that last season was Bill Polian.
I mean, he almost won a Super Bowl. Jim Caldwell.
Yeah, no, that's right. But. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to have Caldwell leading a poor team. But if he can focus his energy solely on making Matthew Stafford better. Look, in week 15, before the game started that Sunday morning, the Lions were in first place.
Yep.
So they don't need a lot of tweaking. They just need Stafford to quit making stupid decisions at the worst possible time and quit throwing off his back foot underhand. And that would be a good start. So if Caldwell's that guy, I think that's worth the hire. I think Wisenhunt would have been a better hire, but look, we'll find out. At least Caldwell has something that Wisenhunt doesn't, and that's a quarterback.
It is. It's interesting to me that so Lovie Smith was a guy that reportedly was targeted by the Lions, right? Or at least the Lions were interested in him.
Yeah, he was on the radar. Apparently.
He doesn't even make it to their interview. And I mean, if you're a guy, if a team's interested in you and you're a coach, you find out pretty easily. I mean, you got an agent who's working his ass off to find out, to get other jobs, leverage stuff, and you've got the media talking about it. So I'm pretty sure that Lovie Smith probably knew he was coveted by the Lions, right? Fair?
Yeah, I think so.
So Lovie Smith goes to Tampa Bay, takes the job anyway. And then Wisenhunt, obviously knows he's coveted by the Lions, looks like a great fit, ends up going to Tennessee. That's a red flag, right? I mean, those two guys avoiding Detroit is a concern, right?
That's what concerned me initially when I heard that Wiz was going to Tennessee.
And by the way, what's
going on in Detroit that no one wants that job? I saw Kent Babb do a Q&A on Deadspin, the Washington Post reporter who came from Kansas City, the Kansas City Star. He was the guy that broke the story on Pioli allegedly bugging the facility back when he was the GM in Kansas City and all the weird stuff going on there. But he said that you'd be surprised at how dysfunctional a lot of front offices are, and he mentioned Detroit as one of them. So, you know, maybe these guys got a bad feeling about it, these would-be head coaches, and decided to bonk out.
I will say that, you know, you look at Detroit and Tom Lewin, who's their president, and looks like Niedermeyer from Animal House. you know what I'm talking about?
Like, yeah.
The stiffest guy on the planet. Right. So you got Lewin at the press conference, and you got Martin Mayhew at the press conference, which means that you got a family with a strong ownership, but the Ford family's involved, and then you got Lewin, who's the president, who's heavily involved, and then you got Mayhew, who's involved. That's a lot of power structure going back and forth. You know, you look at, obviously, a place like New England's a great example because they win all the time, but, I mean, it's Kraft and Belichick, and then some front office guys who are quiet. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
Exactly. There you have one or two voices at places that are historically pretty successful. New England, Baltimore,
Pittsburgh,
the Giants. So the Jets, although are, you know, turn the corner, you got Mike Tannenbaum admitting that drafting Tebow was a bad idea, but no crap.
It got you fired, Mike.
By the way, in 8 years, Caldwell was 26-63.
That's really bad. And Wake Forest was good before he took over, too.
He installed a powerful passing attack that set numerous school records, according to Wikipedia.
He actually might have. I don't think he coached. My cousin was a quarterback at Wake for a while, but I don't think he coached.
Rusty LaRue?
No, Riley Skinner.
Was it?
Yeah, Riley Skinner's my cousin.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, my Skinner family's roots run deep, man.
All right. So who else got hired?
God, we got more coaches. Mike Zimmer finally gets his shot, goes to the Vikings. Zim, as our boy Josh calls him, they're buddies. Josh claims, anyway, maybe. Zimmer is a hard-nosed defensive coordinator known for – the word on the street for Zimmer has always been that he didn't do well in interviews because he spoke his mind. He wouldn't kiss owners' asses, and nobody would hire him. And the Vikings went – and you see this all the time, by the way. You see stuff where it's like the Lions have a psychopath in Jim Schwartz and go hire the most emotionless guy on the planet in Jim Caldwell. The the Vikings have Jim Caldwell light in Leslie Frazier, another Tony Dungy mentee, very quiet guy, and they go and hire a psychopath like Zimmer. I'd actually like the hire.
I like the hire, but my only concern is that offense is horrible. Defense isn't good either. The offense starts and ends with Adrian Peterson. They don't have a quarterback, another team without a quarterback. But if they think that Zimmer's the guy, I mean, look, you can win with a defensive coach. That's not a problem. That's, you know, Belichick's a defensive guy. And they're going to hire, looks like they're going to hire Norv Turner, which I think is a great hire. I think he got a job just like everybody else did on that staff and on the roster, for that matter, in Cleveland. So I think if you like Zimmer as a guy who can oversee everything, fix their defense sucks too, so he can fix that. And then have Norv take care of the small stuff on the offensive side and try to find a GD quarterback somewhere, then I think that's much better. The team is much better now than they were 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I'd agree. And you have to, if you're the Vikings, you have to understand that you got to be patient here because you don't have, you know, despite the fact that you went to the playoffs 2 years ago, you don't have the pieces in place right now. Rick Spielman has kind of gone all in on Zimmer, right? I mean, you assume he's going to give Zimmer 3 to 5 years, I would hope.
Well, God, I hope he's not going to do like Haslam and just fire him after 2 weeks.
That's right, yeah. Actually, we're reporting Mike Zimmer's already been fired by the Minnesota Vikings. I thought it was interesting, Paul Gunther, who's the Bengals linebackers coach, and people loved him on Hard Knocks and everything. He didn't leave. Zimmer wanted him to go to be Zimmer's defensive coordinator in Minnesota, and he decided to stay in Cincinnati and move up to the D.C. position there and fill Zimmer's spot. I think it's a great move by Gunther because way more talent on Cincinnati than Minnesota, and it stinks that he had to turn Zimmer down. But interesting that he would not follow his Yeah, I guess Marvin Lewis is kind of his mentor too. But interesting that he wouldn't follow Zimmer there, you know?
Yeah, it makes sense from the perspective that it's a more secure job to stay in Cincinnati. Of course, we say that, and Marvin Lewis will probably get fired next year. But I think that, you know, they have the players, they have the talent in place. You know, they don't really have a quarterback either, but it's certainly one better than Christian Ponder. And, you know, they have a track record of going to the playoffs. So, as much as he might like Zimmer or appreciate Zimmer or thank Zimmer for all he's done for him, I think you have to stay and since he take that job.
Yeah, and I agree with you. North Turner, if he comes there as OC, is a smart hire by Zimmer because you're bringing in a guy that, you know, I mean, the Browns weren't great on offense, but they were much better than they probably should have been given their quarterbacks last year. Norv can coach a team up. He's never going to be a good head coach, but he can coach up an offense.
Yeah, and actually, I'm glad he's going to Minnesota because that means he's not going to Baltimore, which actually I was sort of worried about.
Oh, God, yeah, that'd be terrifying. He'd turn Joe Flacco and – no, he wouldn't. Nobody can turn Joe Flacco.
You know who the Ravens interviewed, by the way, the word on the street?
Who?
Kyle Shanahan.
I saw that, and
– I hope to hire that guy.
Yeah, that you'd and Gary Kubiak, too.
Well, that he actually has a track record of success.
Yeah, but they're from the, but to me, neither of those guys would make any sense in Baltimore because they're both the same guy.
Yeah,
I mean, like except one's a younger prick and one's a the nicest guy on the planet. But I mean, like they run the same offense. Shanahan learned under Kubiak learned under Mike Shanahan, and Kyle Shanahan worked for Kubiak in Houston. I don't think the offense they run is going to work with the Baltimore personnel.
No, that's right, and that's why I would love for Kyle Shanahan to be hired.
That's right. Okay, so grade for me, Ken Wisenhunt to the Titans. A, B, C, D.
Yeah. Oh, okay. From the Titans' perspective, it's A-.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then from Wisenhunt's perspective, maybe like a B-.
Yeah, B-, exactly. Yeah.
Zimmer to the Vikings.
I think it's an A for both sides, primarily because the Vikings presumably got their guy, and now it's Zim's chance. He's finally got an opportunity.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And the Vikings have a fiery guy who should at least, at the very least, like he's going to be popular with press conferences.
And Jared Allen.
Oh, God, those guys, if he stays around. Caldwell to the Lions.
Oh, my initial feeling was D-, but I'm going to give him a C-plus right now on the hopes that he can fix, Matthew Stafford. C-plus for both sides. I think... Maybe even a C for the Lions just because they missed out on their first two guys.
I'd give a C-plus for Caldwell. I'd give Caldwell an A++ for this because the Ravens were terrible this year.
Oh, that's – yeah.
Nobody should have even been – I mean, like, he's notorious for being just staring blankly at the sidelines.
I joke that he's always wearing an Art Shell mask.
That's right. Now, granted, you know, we always talk about guys going to their second run. It's possible he learned a lot in Indy. Can do some things differently. I don't buy into him having that much impact on what Indy did. I mean, like, they were great when Peyton Manning was healthy, and they sucked when Peyton Manning was hurt.
Yeah, which goes back to the franchise quarterback argument. So at least he has that.
Well, that's true. I would go A++ for Caldwell. I would say C- at best for the Lions. I don't know. Uninspiring, I thought.
Yeah, no, you're right. I was miscalculating those grades.
That's okay. I agree with that. And look, I don't think the Lions couldn't afford to, given where they are in their position, they couldn't afford to go out and gamble on some coordinator, you know?
Well, sometimes you can get that guy. Like Mike McCoy worked out okay.
Yeah, but like Adam Gase, who's the Broncos coordinator now, young guy, probably going to guide this Broncos offense to. Or, certainly guided him to an AFC championship game, very well liked, very young, could be the next great head coach. But the problem is, if he's not, and you hire him, and you miss out on these. I mean, because to me, I look at Detroit, and they have four guys on monster contracts in their prime. And, well, Fairley's a small contract, but Sue, Calvin Johnson, and Matthew Stafford, they have a pretty finite window here. With these guys before, some of the younger talent starts needing new deals like Larry Warford and they paid Reggie Bush. So Nick Fairley's going to have to get paid again. So I see a finite window for them. I don't think you gamble if you're Detroit.
I guess, but is Caldwell a sure bet? That's the only other thing. I know he's old and established.
Not at all.
Quarterbacks. So I don't know. Maybe they do feel good about him turning around Stafford quickly. You'd like to think anyone who was – who gets a head coaching job that wasn't offered that job by some maniac would be able to fix Stafford relatively easily, because I don't think he has huge problems. It's just a bunch of little things. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and you'd think, too, like, you should win 10 games with that Lions team if you're not a lunatic.
With Stafford throwing left-handed, and he can't even do that.
Right.
He couldn't even accomplish that. Yeah, no, so, I got you.
All right. That's why I was asking about the grades. God, I totally lost my spot. So what I was saying was grades, and Cleveland currently gets an I.
I'm giving an F.
You're giving an F minus.
So Haslam couldn't wait to fire Haslam, and the president Joe Banner and Sweater Magoo, Mike Lombardi could not wait to fire Chudzinski.
And Joe Banner will wear a sweater now too, man.
What's that?
Joe Banner will wear a sweater now too.
That's right. They fight over the sweaters. I'm sure there's one closet with the 14,000 sweaters in it. So they couldn't wait to fire Chud, and maybe he deserved to be fired, but I would think it's not like he was hired by Holmgren and his crew. So they knew what they were getting in Chud. They fired him anyway. And then now Haslam is saying he's preaching patience to the fans so they can get the right guy. They're waiting on Adam Gase, apparently. If Gase pulls McDaniels and says thanks but no thanks, I don't know what they're going to do.
It's awkward because they've now had McDaniels – kind of bail out, and then who else has bailed out?
I think it was another young guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, well, can you blame these young guys? It's like, well, yeah, you're going to bring me in. You say that, you know, I'm the future, but you probably told Chud that too, like a year ago.
Absolutely, that's right.
Yeah, that's why it was so stupid. You know, if you hire a coach, and this applies in any position in America, like in employment. If you hire somebody, you have to get it right. And if you hire the wrong person, I understand why you would want to move on. But you can't just, like, you have to at least give them some time to see if it works. Because otherwise, it's not a job anybody wants.
A. B, have a plan if you are going to fire the guy.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, they always say, like, with athletic directors in the college game, you always have to have this short list. And this doesn't apply as much to NFL teams because you can – you know, you can kind of get anybody you want. You know, you're an NFL team, you can get anybody you want. But if you're a college ADs always have this short list of coaches that they would hire if they had an emergency coaching search. Well, if you're going to fire your coach after 1 year, you need to have a list ready right away.
You know, the sad thing is I heard reports that they had been, you know, back channel searching for guys since, you know, like November perhaps, something like that. And they still are sitting on Bupkis. Why not promote Ray Horton? I mean, what are you waiting for? Why do you need...
Amen.
Why are you taking a chance on Adam Gase telling you to F off just like Josh McDaniels did? I don't understand.
I don't either. And Ray Horton, to me, I don't understand why nobody will hire him.
I think he's going to get the Tennessee DC job. But you mean as a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, I would hire him. I think he's going to be the next great head coach.
He's young. The Browns defense did not do exceedingly well this year. Whatever. These things happen. But he's young. He seems to – I mean, he runs Dick LeBeau's defense. He did a pretty good job with it in Arizona. The players seem to respond to him. And, you know, these are sort of all things you want from your coach, unless you're a perennial loser like the Browns, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, they cut Horton and Norv loose. But,
you know, yeah.
Whatever, guys. I mean, yeah.
Maybe they won't have a coach next year. I would love to see Haslam down there.
That would actually that would be awesome.
We're in a Ted Turner Braves uniform.
You guys fired up
for a week.
Yeah, you guys fired up to the max.
He's the same speech every week.
He does. Fired up to the max every week. All right. So actual football, unless there's other news I'm missing coaching wise, no?
Oh, do you want to grade the Redskins? That was why you're off.
Oh, I give the Redskins a B. Even B.
Yeah, that's fine. I give Gruden an A+.
I do too. I don't know. I don't know whether he's been good or not. You know, his brother won a Super Bowl, but he won it with somebody else's players, and he, you know, it's kind of I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, like, why was Jay in the CFL for so long?
Yeah. No. Here's the thing, and here's what I said. I actually sort of defended him after Dalton crapped his pants in that wild card loss. It's you can blame Gruden, and Breach did, and Breach made some decent points because Gruden wasn't very dynamic in his play calling with Dalton. No. I don't know if that was a function of Dalton not being good or just Gruden being boring. But, you know, I just said it. You can only get so far unless you have a franchise quarterback, and Dalton is not one of those. You can say all you want that he's young and he's learning, But this is his third year. He has to play better in the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've gotten to the playoffs, but they should have been better offensively than they have been.
Hey, you know, I actually asked Breach. I said, do the Bengals go 16-0 with Phillip Rivers? He said no, but they do go 14-2.
That's right, they do. I mean, like, if you, it's like you have the pieces. You got those two tight ends, and you've got AJ Green and a bunch of other like decent
Marvin Jones.
Yeah, Marvin Jones. I mean, Sanu, and I mean, they've got secondary wide receivers, Gio Bernard. They have multiple running backs. They're a good offensive line. There's no excuse for not putting up tons of points in that offense.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I give the Redskins a B. And I give Gruden an A for scoring that job. Interesting to see if the Redskins are any good. I mean, he could remember what you wrote about it. He liked Andy Dalton better than Kaepernick.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. Yes. I mean, you know, Mike McCarthy liked Alex Smith better than Aaron Rodgers when he was in San Francisco, but that worked out for him okay.
That's right. Well, yeah, because you got to coach the better quarterback. Okay, so the actual games will take place this weekend. We should point out at this point that, you know, anybody listening, I'm sure they're already planning on watching on Sunday on CBSSports.com. You can stream the Patriots-Broncos AFC Championship game. It's at 3 p.m. Eastern. Come to CBSSports.com and we'll have a – I don't know if we're doing like all 22 or anything like that. I think it's just a standard stream. But if you're stuck, you know, if for some reason you're not in front of a TV for the AFC Championship game on Sunday, you can watch it on your computer.
Yeah, or your iPad. I don't know if you can watch it on your iPhone or not, but I think your iPad works.
Yeah, probably. Who cares? no, just kidding. So when you look at this game, I've been doing some radio spots here and there, and I people ask me about this game, and I don't like to oversell the long-term effects of a single game, but I think that this game legitimately has massive long-term effects. And right now on the NFL replay is an old-school I think it was 2007, Colts and Colts.
January 2007, yep.
Yeah, Colts and
Pats.
I think it's an AFC Championship game, right?
Yep, sure is.
Yeah, so these two teams met. And when you start looking at this matchup, so Peyton Manning, the biggest criticism of him is he can't win in cold weather. He can't win in the playoffs. He only has one Super Bowl. And people who point to Tom Brady as being the better quarterback of those two always point to Super Bowl victories. Well, if Peyton Manning wins this game, he's doing it without Chris Harris. He's doing it without Von Miller. It will be on Peyton Manning to win this game. And if he does it and then he goes to New York and he wins a Super Bowl, all of a sudden he's got two Super Bowls and Tom Brady has three and hasn't won one in a decade. And I think it legitimately flips the whole argument on you know, best quarterback of our generation.
Yeah, no, I think it does. I thought you were going to go the other way and say if Peyton loses, we're going to hear about it. Like, you sound like John Elway, who says Peyton doesn't get enough credit.
Now, that's true, too. Like, if Brady wins this and then Brady wins the Super Bowl and all of a sudden he knocked it's just crazy how much, like, the implications of this game are massive.
The funny thing is Elway sort of implied that the reason that Peyton doesn't get enough credit is because he beat a Rex Grossman-led Bears team. That's who he beat in the Super Bowl. And look, he only can play who's on the schedule. So I don't think anyone knocks Peyton for that. I think they knock him solely for he's 4-10 against Brady straight up.
Yep.
He's 1-2 against Brady in AFC Championship games. He's 10-11 in playoffs overall. And all those numbers compared to Brady in the Super Bowl is 3-1. So, yeah, I think you're exactly right. If Peyton wins his next two, he has two Super Bowls, just as many as Eli, who he's clearly better than. And then he's now just one behind Brady. And not only that, he's won two Super Bowls since Brady's actually won his last one, which was in 2005.
That's right. And, again, remember, he beat Grossman in the pouring down rain in Miami outdoors.
Yeah.
And then he will have won in New York, which is incredibly ironic because if he sucks in bad weather, then why does he have two Super Bowl wins in bad weather?
Yeah, you're assuming that this Super Bowl will be in bad weather. But it's
already been tagged. Like, even if it's sunny and beautiful, it's already been tagged as the New York outdoors freezing Super Bowl. So
right. Yeah, well, here's the thing. Here's how I feel about this game. And I would not be surprised if Denver won. I mean, the spread opened at -7, which is huge. I think it's down to -5.5 right now.
Right.
But I like the Patriots ever so slightly. I feel better about I said this a couple times in the radio this week. Peyton Manning had that look on his face last week in the fourth quarter when the Chargers were coming back. That look we've seen a lot, when usually against the Patriots, where it's like, this is going to end poorly for me.
We saw it earlier this year against the Patriots.
Yeah, after they were up 24-0. And if not for that third and long conversion, third and 17 or whatever it was in the fourth quarter, the Chargers probably had a pretty good chance to win in that game, which is troubling on any number of levels. But I feel slightly better about the Patriots just because they're not afraid of Peyton Manning. That doesn't mean that the donkeys, the Broncos can't win by, you know, three touchdowns. But also I'm leaning towards the Patriots because back in August I got to beat this drum to death that at Seattle and New England playing in the Super Bowl.
Well, I've got New England. You got Seattle winning or New England winning?
Seattle.
Ah, see, I have New England winning it all. So, you know, this is why this prognostication stuff is so stupid because, like, really? I can go back and be like, yeah, I had the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. I called that one, and I mean, I had the Falcons playing the Patriots, but nobody will care about that. It's, you know, I don't know. It's I'm picking the Patriots as well, mainly because I have them winning it all. I think when you start to look at the way that they're playing with LeGarrette Blount running the ball well out of nowhere, which is insane, and Stephen Ridley, who's not fumbling like he was earlier in the season, and Tom Brady being a kind of a game manager, it sets up well for bad weather in Denver, and it sets up well for bad weather in New York. I just think that they have the ability too. So they're playing this physical, run-oriented team, and they haven't had to have Tom Brady crank it up a notch.
Yeah, look, if they follow the same game plan the Chargers followed when they won 27-20 and give Peyton Manning three possessions the whole game or
right.
whatever it was,
right.
that's a recipe for some success.
Because Peyton Manning is a very, very good quarterback, but the reality is if you minimize the number of times he touches the ball, I mean, he's not going to score every time.
No. In fact, he struggled a lot in those middle series against the Chargers.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like New England, especially because, you know, Tom Brady came out and said, nobody's going to pick us. Well, I mean, they're playing that up all week long in the locker room.
Yeah, they must have gotten Rodney Harrison to come and give with that no one respects us speech he used to give every day when he was on the team.
You know, and Brady said, too, that they looked when they, like, pummeled the Ravens, you know, a month ago, that they had looked at, they were pointed out, there's like, everybody's picking the Ravens, FYI guys. And they knew that, and they went in, they were pissed, and they blew them out. And they've got enough weapons. I mean, they're missing Gronk and Aaron Hernandez, obviously, but, I mean, they've got enough.
Yeah, he's gone.
Well, no, but, you know, I mean, like, they're not like this. I'm watching the 2007 Pats, and you're thinking about, you know, Welker and Moss, and, I mean, you know, the dynamic offense. They're missing a lot of weapons, but they're still very, very good. I mean, they can turn up the offensive firepower.
Yeah, that's right, and the fact they can do it with Mini Marshawn, that's what I'm calling LeGarrette Blount now. That's a huge deal.
Yeah, it's huge. So we both like the Patriots, oddly enough. There you go, Tom Brady. Suck it, buddy. I think this will be a running – it's going to be a lot of running.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how the Patriots have to come out. I don't know what the Broncos will have in mind. I want to see how big Wes Welker's helmet's going to be this week.
you know, that's a good call. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if – so. We're talking all week long about how nobody's picking the Patriots. Tom Brady's pissed off. Tom Brady's sick. Tom Brady's missing for practice. The Patriots are a run-oriented team. You know, they're trying to slow the game down and not let Peyton Manning touch it. Wouldn't be surprising if they came out throwing the ball all over the place in the first possession and let Brady uncork it.
That would not surprise me. That would be typical kind of Belichick.
But I mean, like, you go down and make a statement, you know what I mean? Like, march down the field, score on a passing touchdown, put the onus on Peyton to come back, and if you suddenly you get him, you know, to pull that off again, you're up 14-0 and you can, you know, just run the hell out of the ball, Blount and Ridley, and slow the clock down. That's how the Patriots could win.
No, that's right, and you'll speed up the Peyton face to the end of the first quarter, and then things will really be in your favor for the Patriots.
Yeah, so yeah, we like the Patriots, oddly enough. The game that will definitely feature some running, San Francisco at Seattle, epic NFC West, third matchup of the year for these two teams. It's very indicative of these games. So the over-under for New England-Denver is 56. The over-under for San Francisco-Seattle is 39.5.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I like the over, actually.
Yeah, I'm sort of leaning on the over, too. What's the spread?
Seattle is -3.5.
Oh, God. Why is it so low?
San Francisco hadn't lost. When was the last time the 49ers lost? It was like Thanksgiving.
What was the spread in that game they played last time in Seattle, I wonder? It must have been larger than that.
That was week two, though. San Francisco is...
Okay, then the other game was in San Francisco, right? Okay.
San Francisco has won 8 straight games.
I like San Francisco, but I have to pick
Seattle for the Super Bowl pick. Yeah.
I need to go San Francisco covering.
I need to go. Yeah, I think I did the same thing, and you know, I picked the Saints last week, and that was stupid. Or 2 weeks ago, was it? Yeah, last week. Yeah, and that was stupid, and I regret doing it. You know, whatever. You mean Lock and Four. All right, so Prisco's the only guy that has Seattle covering against the spread. Wow.
You know what? Here's the thing, and I've been saying this all week. I don't like the way Russell Wilson's playing. His first 12 games, fantastic. Last 6, not great. He's holding the ball a full second longer than he was the first 3 months of the season, according to PFF, Pro Football Focus.
Right.
Our buddy Andy Benoit, who's now at SI.com, wrote about this. He said Colin Kaepernick is a super dangerous player, but he is such a poor quarterback when it comes to going to the progressions that he will eventually cost San Francisco, maybe not necessarily a game, but a possession, interception, a turnover, because he's so undisciplined in what he does. I don't think that's going to be an issue this game. I think these teams, you know, we talked about this before, this rivalry is now Ravens-Steelers in that they know each other super well. They know what they're going to get. It's going to be all about defense and running the ball. And right now, I think the 49ers are playing, at least offensively, playing a lot better than Seattle's offense outside of Marshawn Lynch. Both defenses are, you know, at the top of the game.
Yeah, I think the one thing when you look at what, you know, San Francisco does well, and it's like when you saw what they did to Carolina, they started to really pick up the ground game, and Colin Kaepernick got loose. He's able to make plays against a bad secondary and, you know, breakdown in coverage is like that. I mean, all right, so the Panthers put Captain Munderland on Anquan Boldin most of that game one-on-one, and Boldin ate him alive because Captain Munderland's not that good. He's a short corner. I mean, he's better than his draft position, but he's just not that great. Oh, my God, Peyton Manning got annihilated in this game. I forgot about that. Sorry, anyway. Now you know why he has neck surgeries. But so anyway, so Captain Munderland couldn't keep up with Anquan Boldin, and I mean, I'm pretty sure that Richard Sherman can do that.
Well, here's the thing. It's funny you mentioned that because that's what Sherman's been saying all week, how he shut down Anquan Boldin the last time they met. And one of the PFF guys noted that Sherman didn't shadow Anquan Boldin the whole game.
Yeah, he just stayed. It was Pete, whatever Pete is, PFF Pete.
Yeah, and he played well when he was against him, but it wasn't like he shadowed him the whole game. So, you know, and now they also have who? Michael Crabtree back. So that'll be interesting. And I think he's a huge part of that offense, even if he didn't have a lot of receptions last week, but he sort of sets the pace for the other guys. And it opens things up not only for Davis and Anquan Boldin, but also for Frank Gore and, of course, Colin Kaepernick.
No, I agree. Having Davis, Crabtree, and Boldin is totally different from just having Boldin, which, you know, I just look at the way that – so – what San Francisco does well with all those guys and the different facets and how they like to run the ball, it's going to be really tough to do that against Seattle because of how good their cornerbacks are, even without Browner. I was going to say Broiner. Brandon Brown. I'm losing at this point. I got no sleep. So without Brandon Browner, yeah, they still got a stacked secondary. Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor are studs. Sherman, obviously, great. The defense is just not going to let Frank Gore do what he did against the Panthers and what he's been
doing.
Why
not? That Panthers defense is better, is ranked higher, according to Football Outsiders, than any other defense.
Well, they're very good up front, but the secondary is not as good.
Well, what's that got to do with Frank Gore?
Well, he busted loose. He busted loose in the secondary.
Oh, well, that's not on the backboard. That's on the front.
Yeah, that's true. All right, well, yeah, but all right, so if you have a better secondary, you can stack the box a little bit tighter because you're not as worried about getting burnt by Colin Kaepernick and Anquan Boldin. At any rate, I think Seattle will do a better job of bottling them up, and I think that what you're going to see, too, is Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Marshawn Lynch has run against the 49ers. He's run well against them.
Do you know how many tackles he broke last week?
75?
I think he broke somewhere between 13 and 17, according to PFF.
That's
ridiculous.
I can't
remember the exact number. I mean, that's more than every other running back last week combined.
Marshawn Lynch, you know, we talk about guys who elevate their game in the playoffs. Marshawn Lynch elevates his game in the playoffs.
oh my God, he absolutely obliterated this poor, as our buddy Brian McIntyre joked at several points during that game, during the Saints game. He goes, a couple of those Saints defenders were making business decisions on those no tackles there.
That's right. But so, yeah, I think that Marshawn Lynch will get the ground game going. That's something Carolina didn't have, and it's why they couldn't do anything in the second half against the 49ers, because they couldn't, there was no threat to run. I mean, it was just Cam was passing, they're putting pressure on him. The Panthers aren't going to run, and they didn't have anything left. So I think Marshawn Lynch gets going. Russell Wilson, for as not well as he's played lately, he doesn't make a ton of mistakes.
Yeah, and you know, people were yelling at me on Twitter and in the comments of the post I wrote about Russell Wilson struggling, and they pointed out that there were 50-mile-an-hour winds last week, and that's why Drew Brees also threw for 30 first-half yards, which was a career low for him. Fair enough, fine. The previous five games, Russell Wilson still hasn't played well. And here's I don't think this is going to happen, but if the 49ers can shut down Marshawn Lynch to some degree, can Russell Wilson carry the Seahawks?
Very good question. I don't know the answer. I mean, I think it's I think he's capable of doing it. I know he's capable of doing it. I wonder, there has to be concern because of the way he's played down the stretch, though.
And you have to feel better about the way Kaepernick's playing if he were facing the same circumstances. If they had shut down Frank Gore, for example.
That's correct.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at.
Looking really quickly at the 49ers. So Russell Wilson has a, bear with me real quickly, has a career completion percentage of 63.6.
Mm-hmm.
He has only thrown 19 interceptions in his career, right?
Yep.
Against the 49ers, has thrown four of those interceptions. And this is in four games. And has only completed 53.4% of his passes for his career against 49ers.
There you go.
Has the lowest quarterback rating, second lowest rating, third lowest rating against any other team. Lowest against the Cardinals. Never mind. It's like fourth or fifth. But, I mean, he's played them four times. He doesn't have big stats against them. His average yards per attempt, if I get this to sort and I can't, is extremely low. It's 6 points. For his career, he averages something like, it's 8.3, and he averages 6.4 average yards per attempt against the 49ers. He's not great against San Francisco.
Yeah, and, you know, just like Ravens Steelers, these teams know each other so well, so there aren't going to be any surprises unless, you know, Jim Harbaugh wears an expensive pair of pants or something.
Yeah. That's he and Pete Carroll have a khaki off on the sidelines.
Can you imagine? That's a halftime show.
Oh God, just a pleat off. I'm picking the Seahawks mainly because I went with the Saints and now I'm regretting it. This is a terrible way to pick games, by the way.
That's right.
I think the 49ers could easily win this game. I was thinking a lot more people would be on the 49ers because they've been so hot lately. It's to me, it boils, the 3.5 is too much because it's going to be a 3-point game. It's going to be a really close matchup, and it's going to boil down to who has the ball last.
Yeah, no, I think so. I like the 49ers because they have the experience from last year. They were literally one play away from winning the Super Bowl. I think that's why they outplayed the Panthers. They had kind of been there before. The Panthers were kind of wide eyed.
Right.
But, you know, Seattle has some experience, too. They haven't played in the Super Bowl, obviously, but they've had some success the last 2 years. I don't know. I feel, you know, the slight leaning towards the 49ers. I'm picking the Seahawks for selfish reasons, but I wouldn't be surprised if the game ends like in a 0-0 overtime, you know, six-quarter situation, or if it's 27-0, one of the teams wins. I don't even know which one.
No, I agree with you. And by the way, I know I've mentioned like this Colts-Patriots game that's on. It can't be. It's not 2007, I don't think. Is it?
It's January. It's a 2006 season, January 2007.
Right. And what was funny is Peyton Manning just completed a long out to
Marvin.
No, Reggie Wayne on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Wayne catches it, gets drilled as he's going down, hits the ground, drops the ball, and it's a first down.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, this pre-Calvin Johnson rule.
It was a simpler time.
God. Yeah. Good. You just, like, you catch the ball, you get 2 feet in, you get out of bounds, you're on the ground, you drop it. It's crazy. We both like Seattle. You like him because you picked him. I like him because I was wrong before. We both like San Francisco to cover, and we both like the Patriots in an upset. You, me, and Lock and Four are riding that Patriots horse or whatever.
Yeah.
Anything else before we get out of here?
No, I think we're all set.
So the plan is for those that listen to the podcast and tweet about us regularly, and I think we say this every year, we never come through, so we'll see if we can pull it off this year, to go to New York, do Radio Row, set up shop, and do lots of podcasts. We'll see how it works out.
Yeah, well, it's on the to-do list. Worst case, Breach will be there, so maybe we'll make him do it by himself.
That's right. It'll be Breach in a closet talking about football.
Talking about Andy Dalton's red hair.
That's right. All right. So for Ryan Wilson, I'm Will Brinson. This is the Eye on Football podcast. Subscribe via iTunes. As always, it is a pleasure. We will talk to you guys after the championship weekend.